I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bragging rights are on the line and maybe a steak dinner too. It's Zach Gelb against former NFL Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frerotte in our CBS Sports Radio NFL Picks, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I learned a lesson last week, and I think it humbled myself. I'm watching that second part of the Monday Night Football doubleheader, and Gus Frerotte took the Tennessee Titans minus 2 points, and I thought Denver was the better team. I thought Denver played the other game. Noah Fant was awesome in the first half, and then for some reason, Pat Shurmur didn't throw him the football in the second half, and Vic Fangio had no clue what to do in the final 5-10 minutes of the game, managing the clock. His decision-making was terrible, and a lot of that goes on Pat Shurmur, too, and I can't believe they didn't take a timeout towards the end of the game. But as we entered the fourth, I thought to myself, man, myself and Gus, we're going to be even after week one. I'll take that as a win since Gus beat me up last year in the picks. And the next thing I know, Gus Frerotte got a push as Steven Gostkowski finally decided to make a field goal. And that got Gus Frerotte out on the 1-1-1 week while I go 1-2. So now we welcome in a former Pro Bowl quarterback, a dear friend of the show. Make sure you check out his podcast. It is excellent. Huddle Up with Gus. And that is a victorious Gus Frerotte. Gus, how was the wedding? How you been, my friend?
Oh, the wedding was great. I'm doing well. How are you? And I don't know if you can call 1-1-1 a victory either.
Yeah, it's more like a participation trophy, but you did win the week compared to me. We had the same amount of wins, but percentage-wise, you did a better job. So, hey, it is what it is. So let me ask you a few things from last week before we get to the games. Number one, I know you liked Tampa last week. They didn't get the win. How concerned are you about the Bucs moving forward?
I'm not that concerned. I think that they got a lot of new parts they're trying to fit in and figure out. Obviously, Brady didn't have a great game, and I think that he's going to focus on trying to be better this week. I still like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they have really good talent. They're going to figure it out. They have too many good coaches there, and they have good personnel there that I think they're going to find a way to get back and do a little bit better next week.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, but I think it brings like a bigger conversation to the table, even with a guy like Brady, who's considered the GOAT. With no preseason, a limited offseason, you know, these teams that have either a new coaching staff or new players at big-time positions, you think it's going to take a few weeks without those previous experiences to really see the best product?
Yeah, I think that team may be hurt by the lack of preseason, getting some real games under their belt instead of just practicing and getting real timing down. You know, I think that the NFL has done a tremendous job, and the product looks great out there without preseason games. But I think to some teams, when you bring so many new parts in, especially a quarterback like Tom and other components, I think you really need some of those games to really get some of the cobwebs out. And I think they did that week one. Other teams were better, but they'll catch up.
And the other thing, Gus Frerotte, that I want to ask you before we get to the picks, Dallas, they had a tough matchup against the Rams. I thought Dallas was going to win. Dallas's offense really did nothing in the second half. Some questionable decision-making by Mike McCarthy as well. That NFC East, it stinks. Giants are bad. I know Washington, they got the win after going down 17-0. I don't believe in Philly this year. Do you think the Cowboys, even with what they did in week one, in your mind, do you think they're the team to beat in the NFC East, or do you like someone else?
Well, I think right now they are the team to beat. I think the Washington football team, you know, they have a great D-line. They got a good defense. I don't know, you know, how their O's going to pick it up through through the year. They have some really good coaching there. But right now, if you look at for that division, I think that Dallas has the best chance to go out, and they have all the parts. They got to figure out to use all the parts successfully. I think they're still trying to figure that out, even though they got a new coach.
Let me ask you about two young quarterbacks. Burrow last night, they asked him to throw the ball 61 times. I know they lost the game, but to not throw an interception in your second game throwing 61 times, that's impressive to me.
Well, yeah, and what else was impressive, because I've been there before, is as many times he's got hit and got back up. And he, you know, in his head, when I saw him walk to the sideline and they put the camera on him a few times, I know in his head he was saying, man, I never got this hit this many times in one game at LSU.
Yeah.
So welcome to the NFL, young man. And when those defensive players, they get a little whiff of, hey, all right, we got an edge on them. When we get to go hit that guy a lot, they're coming. And so you can bet every team is watching that film.
I know San Francisco is banged up. Did it surprise you, though, that the Cardinals, led by Kyler Murray, got the job done in week one, and Hopkins was unbelievable, too?
Oh, I mean, that combination is so exciting. And then the leadership, I think, with you have Larry Fitzgerald there, who's the ultimate, you know, veteran now, can bring that team together, can really get them to work hard and do the right things. And with Kyler Murray's athleticism and the way DeAndre Hopkins runs routes, doesn't drop balls, you gotta imagine the Texans are kicking themselves in the rear why they didn't keep him or get way more for him now. But, and it was surprising that San Francisco didn't play better. George Kittle got hurt, and I think that affected some of their game plans. But it just seems to me like they don't have all the parts right now like they did last year.
Gus Frerotte here with us, former Pro Bowl quarterback. Huddle Up with Gus is his podcast. Make sure you check it out each and every week in football season. He'll join us right here in the 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific hour to do a little picks. Gus beat me up last year, and now I'm trying to get some redemption this year. After week one, I went 1-2, and Gus did go 1-1-1. Let's have some more winners this week all around, all right?
I like it. Let's do that.
I'll start you off first. Go ahead. What's the first game you're going with? And by the way, just so people know, two picks, you could do whatever you want, and then one pick has to be a dog. So what do you got for me first up, Gus?
My first pick is Rams over the Eagles.
I like that, too.
I think it's minus one on there, so I think it's when I saw the Washington football team do to the Eagles line, I can't imagine what Aaron Donald's going to do.
Yeah, I agree. You're right. It's Philadelphia minus one, so you take the Rams plus the one, so that's your underdog pick right there. You go more underdogs if you want. Do whatever you want. But I do agree. I think that Sean McVay is due to get a win up against Doug. He's 0-2 in his career up against Doug Peterson. I don't like that Eagles offensive line. I don't love this Eagles team right now. So I think it's a close game, but if you made me pick one, I would go with the Rams. So you go Rams plus one. The first game I'll attack, I'm going to go with the guy that lit it up last week up against the Minnesota Vikings. And they don't have Kenny Golladay this week for the Lions. Game is in Green Bay. There will be no fans. Even though it was a close game last year, which the Lions could have won if they didn't get screwed by the officiating, I think Aaron Rodgers continues to roll. The line is 6 points. I like the Packers to win by at least seven. So give me Green Bay in week two, minus the 6 points up against the Detroit Lions. What's the next game that you got, Gus?
I like that, Zach. I like that. It's a good pick. I was actually looking at that one. Next one for me, I'm going to take the Bears over the Giants. That game. I think the Bears, it's in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. Bears are giving up some points, 5.5. But, after watching last week, I'm not so sure what the Giants are, and I don't think they know who they are.
Yeah, and I don't think that Giants defense is good whatsoever. I don't love the Bears offense. That was a crazy game, by the way. Lions were up 23-6, and you let Trubisky score three fourth-quarter touchdowns. Do you think Trubisky will turn a corner here, or are you not sold on him?
I'm not really sold on him, but I think that he won a lot of people over by being able to make a comeback. When you can do that for your team, put the team on your back at the end of the game, make some throws, and have a comeback like that, it gives your team some confidence that you can go out there and play. And I think that he showed a little moxie. I think that they're going to have a good game, and it'll probably help them through the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think the name of the game this week and for the year for the Bears is don't turn over the football and make sure that defense comes up and dominates. And I think they can up against the Giants. So it wouldn't surprise you that's a close game. I think that game could go either way, but you go Bears minus 5.5. So if I'm having a little point of contention there, it probably will end up hitting and Gus will probably get another winner. All right, let me go to next game, Gus Verratt. I look at the 49ers and the Jets. I don't get how this is a 7-point spread in favor of the 49ers. I think it should be more. I know Kittle's out. I know that the 49ers are banged up left and right, but so are the Jets. Crowder was big for them last week, not going to play in this game. There is no also Le'Veon Bell in this game. I think this front seven, especially the defensive line for the 49ers, is going to make Sam Darnold have mistakes left and right. Give me the 49ers laying the 7 points. I think the 49ers win the game by at least 7. This spread seems a little bit too low for me, and I get they're going on the road, but if the 49ers are fully healthy, I think the number would have been like more like 9.5, 10. So that's my second pick. Go ahead. Your final pick, Gus Verratt.
Well, you know, I like going with these guys because they can put up a ton of points. And I just don't know if my buddy Anthony Lynn out of the Chargers are ready to see this. And the Chiefs, I think, are going to put up way more than 8.5 over the Chargers. So I'm going to take the Chiefs over the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like Anthony Lynn a lot, too. But that football team is banged up. I don't love Tyrod Taylor. And right now, even if Kansas City goes down like 17 points, I know it's a divisional game, you just feel, isn't it crazy with Mahomes? Even if he goes down or even if there's only 25 seconds left on the clock, you always think he's stepping up and producing. To see how that kid has dominated this league so quickly, and I think he just turned 25, it's unreal that maybe there's a different level that he could take his game to because he's so great right now.
Oh, he is so great, and he's seeing the whole field. He's making plays. You know, he throws off balance. He throws going to his right, going to his left, and just the playmakers they have around him. I think Coach Reed has done an amazing job of getting those playmakers and you know, keeping that Ferrari gassed up and pedal to the metal, man. They are running the show, and they're going to put up points every week.
And the Fresh Prince of Hilaire, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, did a very, very nice job in his debut. All right, Gus Verratt, final pick for me. I look at the Vikings at the Colts. I think this game comes right down to the end of it. And with the way that Phillip Rivers has been playing as of late in the fourth quarter, and we saw it last week as that was a stunner up against the Jags. People thought the Jaguars are going to be miserable this year. They still may be. But the Colts lost in week one, and Rivers threw a big fourth quarter pick. I think it's the same thing this week, that this game is close, this game is tight, and Rivers makes another miscue late. Give me the Vikings as my upset pick of the week, Minnesota, plus the 3 points. So to recap here, Gus Verratt, huddle up with Gus. Make sure you check out the podcast, radio.com, all the great places you get your podcasts. Rams plus 1 for Gus. Bears minus 5.5 against the Giants. Chiefs minus 8.5 against the Chargers. And for yours truly, I take the Packers minus 6 against the Lions. 49ers minus 7 against the Jets, 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 Jets. And then the Vikings plus the 3 points against the Colts. What's coming up next in the podcast, Gus? What do you guys got cooking?
This week we got Randy Cross coming out,
nice.
Former 49er, you know, all-pro lineman, won a few Super Bowls. We had a great talk about, you know, his life and you know, what, why and how he fell in love with sports. So it was a great talk, and we discussed what he's doing today. So Randy Cross has been around. He's been a great broadcaster and announcer, and it was just a great conversation we had for an hour.
Can't wait to listen to it. Gus, thanks so much. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Zach, have a great one. Thanks, man.
You too. My week will only be great if I end up beating up Gus Verratt next week. I got to make sure I get some wins this weekend. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. I got to start getting back into that win column. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Do you disagree with any of my picks, Connor? Packers minus 6 against the Lions. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think they're going to blow the Lions out.
49ers minus 7 against your Jets. You agree with that?
I would take that also.
Okay, and then Vikings plus 3 against the Colts?
That one, I think I would take the Colts there.
Ooh, okay.
But I love Phillip Rivers, and I can't pick against him, and it's my problem in life.
Jason Lockenford does not like Phillip Rivers. As he said earlier this week on the show that he would rather have Jacoby Brissett as the starting quarterback compared to one Phillip Rivers. So that's something to watch, because I know they paid him $25 million, and I know that coaching staff believes in him. With what they think of that roster, though, if Rivers keeps on throwing pick after pick after pick after pick in the fourth, and you get 4 or 5 weeks of this, will they go back to Jacoby Brissett, who I think has some potential? I wouldn't think he is a franchise quarterback in this league. If Rivers keep on making the same mistakes that he made last year, though, it could get ugly in Indianapolis. And that's a big reason why I didn't believe in the Colts this year. It's because of Phillip Rivers. I look at Phillip Rivers, and even though I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, I think he's the Phillip Rivers of last year, which was mistake, mistake, mistake. I think Phillip Rivers is done, and I do believe that this is going to be his last year in the National Football League. Take a break. When we come on back, I want to get into five big thoughts that I have. They're not like huge thoughts. Let's not get crazy here as we try to keep you around for the next segment. But I do have five thoughts on this upcoming weekend and five things that really do stand out to me. And you know what? You don't want to miss it. And we will get back to it in 5 minutes when the Zach Gilb Show rolls along for another 45 minutes on a big Football Friday.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Since I've been giving you a lot how I feel coming out of the break with the music, right now I feel as if I'm at a rock concert. Rock and roll signs up in the air. Long flowing hair, Zach Gelb. Let's go.
Just mosh pit.
The head. Yeah, mosh pit. Like, you ever see Shaquille O'Neal in the mosh pit?
Yeah.
Those videos are great. So we've met Shaq. Both of us have met Shaq when he used to record his podcast here. There'd always be one random month when Shaq recorded this podcast where he would come into the studio. And I remember I was interviewing Lance Berkman, I think it was. And David Mayernick, my boss, comes in and he goes, "Hey, you still need the studio?" I go, "No, I'm good. I don't need the studio anymore." He goes, "Okay, because someone's coming in. They got to use the studio." I go, "Okay." In walks Shaquille O'Neal. I go, "This isn't just like anyone. I thought it was some host or something. You know, who knows what host with an ego and like needed a studio and they wanted to be all discreet about it." So it ended up being Shaq. And I say, "Well, if I knew that Shaquille O'Neal was the one that needed the studio," I said this to Shaq, "I wouldn't have gave it up." And he laughed at that. And they didn't know Shaq was coming in. It was kind of an impromptu visit. It was a last second thing. So our boss, he just didn't have time. He had other things to do. So he goes, "Would you mind just sitting there monitoring the board?" And I go, "Yeah, I have no problem monitoring the board. That doesn't bother me. I wasn't going anywhere anyway." So I'm monitoring the board for Shaq. And remember that song, Africa? So that comes on somehow in their podcast because they were hooked up into another studio in Atlanta. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting in a room with Shaquille O'Neal, and he's singing Africa. And I thought it was so cool. So I got to spend about, I guess their podcast taping was an hour, hour and a half. So I got to be in the same room, talk to Shaq during all their breaks that they did take, because they had like commercial breaks and things that they would record the podcast as it was live. So any of the reads and anything they got in the podcast as well. And I was talking to Shaq when he was off the microphone, and I ended up taking a picture with Shaq. And I'm a large human being. I'm 6'5". I'm built like an offensive lineman. And all my friends, and that's even before I lost a substantial amount of weight. You know, I was going in the right direction, but before I lost a big number. I'm actually down 50 pounds now. Today was the 50-pound big day when I stepped on the scale and was down 50 pounds. I'm trying to lose about 20 more pounds, except one of my buddies, Deion Dawkins of the Bills, he goes, "Why don't you try to lose 40 pounds? Well, that's Deion, though. You say, "Okay, I'm going to go eat 5 burgers. He's going to go, "All right, how about you eat 10 burgers? So the minute when he responded that back to me, I knew that was going to be the response. So I took the photo with Shaq. I look so small next to Shaquille O'Neal. And you were there that day, I guess, too, which I don't remember. I can't imagine. Connor Green, what are you? You said you were 165 and how tall?
I'm about 5'9".
5'9" on a good day.
On a
my
good
ass.
Day.
You're 5'7". You're five, five,
I'm actually 6'1". Yeah. I just look 5'9". So
if you're 5'9" on a good day, then I'm 6'8" on a good day. All right. So were you standing close to Shaquille O'Neal? Because if I look small, you must look like an absolute shrimp.
I was like cutting tape that day, so I saw him walk by. And I think at one point, like I went to go get water, and he popped out for a second or something like that. and I saw him, and if he makes you look small, yeah. He made me feel like I was like a newborn baby.
An emaciated kid.
Like
yeah.
a little tiny person. Like you feel bad about yourself after that.
You were like Mikey B's new child.
Yeah.
You know, just born 2 weeks ago. You were Brian Tyler Biseglia. That it was Connor Green standing next to Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah. There's not too many people that I feel small next to. Shaq was one of them. Kendrick Perkins, when he came in studio with us, was another one. Here's another one. Taco Fall. I was at a Temple UCF basketball game, and Taco Fall, he's not wide. He is just so freaking tall if you've ever seen Taco Fall. Those are the three people probably that I've felt very small next to. I'm sure at a Super Bowl there was another offensive lineman. Like, for example, like I was next to Ronnie Stanley, Stanley this year at the Super Bowl. And, yeah, he's a large dude. He was dressed as if he was ready to go to a rave in Miami. He was in a tank top, flip-flops. I didn't feel that small next to him. But there are some dudes that are just absolutely massive. Massive, massive, massive. Who was the dude? I used to play offensive line for the Ravens. Went to Miami. This dude was massive. McKinley was his last name. Brian McKinney. McKinney. Large individual, really large individual. Anyone else? Like even like Ed Too Tall Jones, like huge dude, but I've been around people that made me feel really small. Gronk. Gronk is one. I once took a photo with Gronk, Connor, not to do this all of like the large individuals that I've met. I once took a photo with Gronk when I was in college. We went to the Patriots team hotel. And we got dinner there, and I knew Gronk a little bit because when I was in high school, he came on my high school radio show, which was very nice. So there was like a relationship there. So I sell out to Gronk, and I go, can I get a picture with you? He goes, yeah, absolutely, no problem. So it's me and my cousin, and Gronk is standing there with his arms folded and kind of doing like, oh, like I'm the tough guy, like good-looking pose, everything. And my uncle goes, you guys want to stand close to him? I go, what do you mean? I'm sitting there right next to him. Nope. His forearms were touching me. And I was a solid, like, foot and a half, 2 feet away from Rob Gronkowski. So those are some individuals that made me feel really small. I'm like Tony Saragusa, too. I felt very, and he's not very tall. He's very wide.
I met David Deal because he does
the football
Sunday show.
Yeah.
And he came in, he met me, shook my hand.
Probably broke it.
And my hand was like a little baby hand.
He has, like, no neck, too.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I was on a flight once with David Deal. Good dude. Large human being. Trent Brown. That's another large human being as well. All right, let's get back to the gridiron instead of talking about people that are just large human beings that also do play on the gridiron. When we get to five things that really stand out to me for this weekend, number one, will the Pats show up against Seattle? Pats put a good game. It was up against Miami. Could have probably scored more points. Now you get what could be one of the better teams in the National Football League, a team that I think is going to win the Super Bowl this year in Seattle. So two things get tested here. What gets tested here is the Patriots front seven up against Russell Wilson. And then even though Seattle doesn't have a great defense, they're an improved defense. I kind of link that defense to what Kansas City was last year going into the season, where they eventually find their groove and are good enough to win a Super Bowl. They do have a great defensive player in Jamal Adams. And now Jamal Adams is on a good team. And I like that secondary in Seattle. So I want to see when you're going up against an offense that could actually produce points and will produce points that Seattle will on Sunday Night Football, can Cam Newton, with this Patriots offense, with the style that they're playing, can they keep up and at least make it a game against Seattle? So that's number one. Number two, Raiders were not great against the Panthers, could have lost that game, did not. Don't like the Raiders' defense. I don't trust the Raiders' offense. The Raiders have some injuries going into this week. Can the Raiders on Monday Night Football, not knowing who's going to play for the Saints, as the Saints have injuries as well, can the Raiders at least show up? Just like New England, can the Raiders show up against a much better opponent? That's something that I want to see. If the Raiders opening up their new palace with no fans, can they show up against the Saints? Eagles and Cowboys, thought number three. Will either get a win this weekend. Cowboys go up against the Falcons, and the Eagles go up against the Rams. I think the Cowboys win. I do. That game is in Dallas, even though it doesn't mean much, where the games are being played this year. That's going to be an offensive shootout, I think. And I do believe Dallas slightly has a better defense than the Falcons. So I'm going to, and I also think Dallas has a better offense than the Falcons. So I'm going to think Dallas, they get their first victory of the season. The Eagles and the Rams, we touched on this a little bit with Gus Frerotte. Yes, it's an Eagles home game. Yes, there won't be any Eagles fans, so it doesn't really matter. Yes, you have a West Coast team traveling East Coast team, 1 p.m. Eastern time game. Those are always a little bit funky. I just don't love Philadelphia this year. Their offensive line is a mess. Brandon Brooks is out. Lane Johnson does come back. Jason Peters is very old, even though he'll be a Hall of Famer one day. I don't like what they have at the left guard and right guard spot. And I think Donald just absolutely feasts. Even though Donald has not played well up against the Eagles in his career, I think Goff does just enough. I saw Robert Woods signed an extension today. I like the Rams to walk out with like a 3-point victory. I think they win by a field goal up against Philadelphia, and the Eagles fall to 0-2. Next thought, fourth thought. Can Deshaun Watson lead his team to victory? Because they're going up against the Ravens. I think the Ravens run right through the Texans defense. The Texans defense could look like Swiss cheese after dealing with Lamar Jackson. There's going to be a lot of holes with that Texans defense after this weekend. And I like Deshaun Watson a lot. I don't trust what's around Deshaun Watson. I think this game is ugly. I hope it's close. I hope it's a chance for Watson to win it in the fourth. I think this game is very, very ugly. Maybe not as ugly as what Ravens and Browns was last weekend, but I do believe that the Ravens are a force right now to be reckoned with, and I don't see the Texans having the answers to slow down the Ravens. And the only way I could see the Texans winning this game is if Watson just simply goes off and plays MVP ball, and he could do that, and that still may not be enough. And then finally, the last thought for this weekend, will Rivers and Brady get the job done? You have two quarterbacks, Brady the GOAT, Rivers probably going to the Hall of Fame, both on top 10 list categories all throughout the league in terms of stats, because Rivers not a top 10 QB of all time, but just in terms of stats, touchdowns and passing yards to Rivers and Brady, they're all over those top 10 lists. So you see the Chargers' embarrassing performance last week against the Jaguars, and the Colts. See what I did there? I had a little blunder there. Rivers, Chargers. So, yeah, the Chargers actually got a victory against the Bengals, but I meant to say the Colts had an embarrassing performance up against the Jaguars, and now you see the Colts this upcoming week. They have Minnesota. Both those teams are close. Both those teams have questions. I trust Kirk a little bit more than Phillip Rivers, so I don't think Phillip Rivers gets a victory this week. And then you take a glance at Tampa Bay, which I almost just said the Patriots because of where Tom Brady used to play, but you take a look at Tampa Bay. You know what this is like? This is when the Raiders have moved and the Chargers have moved and the Rams, and people still call the LA Rams the St. Louis Rams, the Los Angeles Chargers, the San Diego Chargers, and then the Las Vegas Raiders, the Oakland Raiders. But I do take a look at the Bucs this week. I know that Godwin and Evans aren't 100% healthy. It doesn't matter to me. Brady should steamroll the Carolina Panthers. Could potentially be a game in the first half just with the offense that Carolina has. Carolina doesn't have a defense. There's a reason Carolina last year or this past draft, they took every single player in the draft was a defensive player. So that's a defense that it's young and it's not all that good, even though I think Phil Snow is a good defensive mind. So I think Tampa just absolutely mauls the Carolina Panthers this week. And I'll give you one extra point. I'll give you a bonus thought here. The underrated game of the week, the game that probably not a lot of national interest, but I do have some interest in it. It's Washington at Arizona. Arizona, big victory last week, taking down a team that's a Super Bowl contender, was in the Super Bowl last year, in the San Francisco 49ers. And you have Washington, who's 1-0, but no one thinks they're good. They have a good front seven. That's how they're going to beat teams this year, is their front seven. Their offense is not good. Can Washington maybe provide a little bit of a letdown to Arizona? Because Washington, if they win the game, people are going to be stunned. If the Cardinals win, they go, okay, it was expected. It's up against Washington. One of those teams, though, are going to be 2-0. And if Washington is 2-0, who the heck would have thought that? If Carolina, the Cardinals are 2-0, it's not the craziest thought in the world. You knew they were going to be in the game against the 49ers. I don't think many people thought they were going to win the game, but you knew they were going to be in the game. And if you told me that after 2 weeks the Cardinals stunned the 49ers and then beat Washington, yeah, you could believe that. Washington, though, starting out the season 2-0, when their opponents are the Eagles and the Cardinals, not that either of those teams are great teams. If they could do that, man, what a story and what a feel-good moment that would be for Ron Rivera. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, where we play you some of the Kendrick Perkins audio with us in the next segment, and we will also ring the closing bell. You don't want to miss that. First up, though, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, you also don't want to miss it, and that's with Kevin Dexter.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Kendrick Perkins joined us earlier at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. And I asked him what I thought was an innocuous question about one Giannis Antetokounmpo winning the MVP, and if he thought that was the right person to win the award. As let me just remind you that Giannis won his second MVP award as he joins Hakeem Olajuwon 1993-1994 season and Michael Jordan in the 87-88 season as the only players to win the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year awards in the same season. So I kind of had a feeling Perk was going to go with LeBron, and I thought Giannis should have won the MVP and did win the MVP. Difference regular season and the postseason. LeBron's the best player in the sport. But when I look at the most valuable player conversation, like I said earlier, I think for the majority of the regular season, people thought it was Giannis. And when you have tiebreakers, if you win the Defensive Player of the Year, I think that's a tiebreaker when Giannis and LeBron were close. That did push Giannis over the hump. Now, would I rather be Giannis or would I rather be LeBron for this year? I'd rather be LeBron. One, because I think he's the better player. But two, he's still playing when Giannis is not. But this isn't an award that factors in the postseason. It's only for the regular season. So we started off with that, and then it escalated to something else where Perk had a strong take, and Kendrick Perkins is never afraid to give his opinion. And here was the audio one more time for you in case if you missed it earlier. All right, Big Perk. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he wins the MVP. Did you have any problem with that?
I had a lot of problems with that because every year the MVP is shifts, the goalpost shifts. I don't know what's the criteria for MVP no more. I'm not saying Giannis didn't have a good year. I'm not saying that. But I just remember a time when Steve Nash averaged 15 and 10, and he had a nice squad around him, and Kobe Bryant had Smush Parker and Kwame Brown and led the Lakers to the playoffs and averaged almost 35 points a game and clearly was the most valuable player and didn't get it because they said that Steve Nash was more valuable and that you took him off the Suns. Well, if you take LeBron James, no disrespect to Anthony Davis because he's a generational talent, but if you take LeBron James off the Lakers, what would the Lakers be in the Western Conference? They would be in the playoffs, but they wouldn't be sitting at the number one spot, not in the tough Western Conference.
Well, what happens if you take Giannis off the Bucks? Do you think that's still a playoff team?
They would be a top five team.
Really? You think they'd be a top five team?
In the East, they would.
Wow. So where would you put them in the pecking order? So you got Toronto, you have obviously the Celtics, you got Miami, and then you think they're right after there?
To be told, their offense runs better without Giannis.
Wow. So what happens? Let me ask you this then: for Giannis's decision, what do you think? Uh-huh. What do you think he ends up doing? Do you think he'll stay next year? After next year?
Well, it's going to be hard for him to stay, and here's why. Okay, in order for Giannis to stay, he's saying that he wants the owners to spend. Nobody is going to Milwaukee, I'm sorry. So who are you going to get in the free agency market? Nobody. Steph Curry is not walking through the door. Damian Lillard is not going there. So I just think the chances on Milwaukee keeping Giannis is very low.
Would the Bucks without Giannis be better than the Sixers, in your opinion?
they would be better because you would be able to feature Chris Middleton and Brook Lopez more.
How about that by Perk? That's a take. My eyes almost fell out of my head when he said five in the league. I was like, oh, then he said the Eastern Conference. So think about it. For next year, if let's just say Giannis wasn't there, and he's going to be there next year because he's still under contract. Raptors, better than the Bucks if Giannis isn't there. Celtics, better. Heat, better. I would say the Sixers, I disagree with Perk. And then the Nets, those are five right there. So then you get to like the fringe teams. Pacers didn't have Victor Oladipo this year for most of the year. They went 45-28. If you take Giannis off the Bucks, I think the Pacers would be better than the Bucks. And then after that, I think it's up for conversation. You're still looking, though, at best as a sixth seed. You know, maybe probably a seventh seed. So that's a take from Kendrick Perkins. I don't see, though, how they're better without Giannis when the guy just won Defensive Player of the Year and his second MVP award. But, hey, Perk's entitled to his opinion. So always do appreciate Kendrick Perkins. If you missed any of that conversation, go to my Twitter, at Zach Gelb. Give me a follow. Go to my bio, right in my profile, and you can find all the archive segments of our show, interviews, big opinions, all of that, big guests. Or you can just use the radio.com rewind function on the radio.com application. It is time for the closing bell. Connor Green, you have the honors today of ringing the New York City Stock Exchange bell. Let's go.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Nice job by the Browns last night. Simply, you did your job. Let's not celebrate it too much. Denzel Ward did a very nice job up against A.J. Green. But the big takeaway, Chubb and Hunt. 124 yards for Nick Chubb. 86 yards rushing for Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb had two rushing touchdowns. Kareem Hunt had one rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown. As a team, though, Cleveland ran for 215 yards at 6.1 yards per carry on the 35 attempts that they had. Here's a little stat for you. Thursday night was just the third game for the Browns since returning to the NFL in 1999, where they posted at least 200 pass yards, 200 rushing yards, and had zero sacks allowed. The others, 2018 Week 10 versus the Falcons and 2007 Week 2 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Browns get the win 35-30, but they showed us the formula on how to win games this year, even though it was just up against the Bengals. Limit Baker Mayfield, only let him throw about 23, 25, maybe at most 30 times, and pound that rock with the two-headed monster in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. We give Chubb and Hunt a stock up. Next up, we go to the same game, or we stay in the same game, we go to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, in his second ever game, no preseason, not a lot of time to practice, threw the ball 61 times, had three touchdowns, and zero interceptions. It's a heck of a job for Joe Burrow with a crap offensive line, going up against Denzel Ward, who locked down A.J. Green, and also not having Joe Mixon be great running the football last night. And really, the wide receivers were bad for the Bengals, too. Joe Burrow, something special. Now it's time to build around Joe Burrow. Stock up to Joe Burrow. Let's hear Dave Mishkin as Tampa did take down the Isles last night in overtime in Game 6.
Corner, Goodrow, Markley Goodrow behind the net. In front, Cirelli, shoot! Is it in? Score! Score!
Is it in? Is it
Cirelli!
In?
Cirelli!
Yep.
The Lightning win it! It's over! Stanley Cup final! Here come the Lightning!
That's a horrible call. I know it was a tough play. Even the great Doc Emmerich, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, didn't know that it went in right away, and I don't think I knew it went in right away watching from home, and I had a big television screen in front of me. There's some Michigan calls that I really like, and then there's some that I go, it doesn't even sound like his screaming is believable, and that was one of them. So it sounds like I'm giving him a stock down. However, how about Tampa getting two double minors, not converting on either, back-to-back in overtime in Game 5 and Game 6. They lost Game 5 in double OT, but in Game 6, they win it. They go to Stanley Cup Final, and I like them to take down the Dallas Stars. But we give Tampa a stock up, even though Dave Mishkin was horrible on that call. Tampa goes to the Stanley Cup Final again. How about the New York Yankees? The Yankees had 19 home runs in their three-game series against the Blue Jays. That's the most in a single series in MLB history, passing the 1963 Twins who hit 17 home runs in a four-game series against the Washington Senators. Stock up to the Bronx Bombers. Also, a stock up to Patrick Reed. We knew Wingfoot was going to play a whole lot tougher today. He was even 4-under for the tournament. He's in the lead heading into Saturday. Stock up to Patrick Reed. Big Ten football coming back. So is Rashad Bateman, who I like that. I love Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. Him and Tyler Johnson were so much fun to watch last year. Now Tyler Johnson with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So according to ESPN, the star wide receiver has re-enrolled in school with Minnesota and started practicing with the team. He hopes to play this season after opting out last month. And the only thing that is complicated here, he is applying for a waiver to play this season since he already opted out. And I guess there's some things that could be complicated there. They should give him the waiver because he didn't think he was going to have a season. Now he's having a season. So stock up to the Minnesota football program. Let me get back to Giannis Antetokounmpo. This was Giannis Antetokounmpo today on TNT after winning his second MVP consecutively back-to-back.
Not yet. Not yet. I got to set a goal, which I don't know the goal, what the goal is right now. Actually, I know what the goal is. Don't call me MVP. Don't call me 2 times MVP until I'm a champion.
So he basically was downplaying winning his second MVP. Back-to-back, he did it. And he said, I basically don't talk about it until I win a championship. Well, on Instagram later in the day, he posted a photo of him reading the New York Times where he's on the front cover saying Giannis Antetokounmpo wins back-to-back MVP. Seems to me like he's celebrating it. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Giannis. He's great. He's unbelievable. He is sensational. In a year, though, when you were supposed to get to the finals and you didn't, I wouldn't be celebrating this MVP all that much. I would be annoyed that you didn't even get to the Eastern Conference Finals, let alone the NBA Finals. So even though this is a momentous day for Giannis with another accolade, and it's a great story of Giannis, I got to give him a stock down because he was very hypocritical. Let's not embrace it on TNT, and then you post what you did on social media. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Very, very fun show today. Big Football Friday show. Enjoy Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals that is going on right now between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Big thanks to all of our guests, Gus Farratt, Kendrick Perkins as well. And tremendous job out of my crew, whether it's Bob Uessler, Kevin Dexter, and the wonderful Connor Green. We'll be back on Monday. We'll do No Huddle Offense. Big, big Monday show. Coming off another week in the National Football League. And we'll also recap all the NBA as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe. If you want to get at me on the weekend on Twitter, give me some thoughts. Give me some opinions on the game. Once again, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. ZACHGELB. Be safe, everybody. Talk to you Monday. As always, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. I'm out. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.